Before we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word so that you can draw us closer to what your ways might be, so that your ways might become our ways, your love, our love. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Genesis, the very first book in our scriptures. You can follow along on page 12 of the Old Testament section. I will be reading the beginning of the 15th chapter. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the second letter to Timothy, the first chapter. Let us listen now for the word of God. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is indeed the word of the Lord for us, the family of faith. This right here is the family story, the story of God's promise to Abram and Sarai to bear them a child. The promise to make Abram's family great. This is the story where we read of prophets and kings, the stories of destruction and promise in rebuilding, the story of God's gift of Jesus, the stories of healing and teaching and new life, and the story of the early church seeking to be followers of this story. The covers may look different. The words may vary slightly in their translation, but the story is the same. Because we are claimed by a God who loves us all and are sent in turn to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then we have this. From my Everett family roots, you may be so lucky to have a family Bible of your own, When I was preparing to write this sermon, I had to ask to borrow it. I am not the keeper of the family Bible. And this treasure, this particular family Bible, was published sometime around 1800. I have no idea what translation it is. But it records my family lineage as far back as 1651. And tucked in the pages of this worn binding are things like receipts from the town apothecary and birth records and death records in families where there were no children born. No other Courtneys, I found out. But I did find I'm not the first pastor in my family. I'm the fourth that I know of. And I'm not the first even from this area. Hints of those who came before me. And I've learned that you don't get a Courtney without the people who have touched these pages, who have touched these stories, who have let this story lead their lives, who have let this story be their own. You also don't get a Courtney without my grandfather, who showed me constancy in faith. When one of his children or grandchildren would squirm about going to worship one Sunday, he would get very tall. And he would say, "God gave you 6 days. I'm sure you can find some time to spare on the seventh to give God thanks." And it really didn't hurt that if you were ready early, you could ride with him in the car to the donut shop to pick up the Sunday school donuts. You better believe I was ready. You don't get a Courtney without my mother, who read me scripture stories and modeled mealtime and bedtime prayers for me, and included me alongside her as she served the church in all those many ways. In the line of faith, scripture helps to provide stories and markers of the generations that came before. Jesus even had a genealogy in the opening of Matthew, a line from Abram to his birth showing God's promise to Abram endures throughout the generations. The family founded in such a promise that caused Sarai to laugh continued to grow and multiply and reach through to Jesus. It's a nice idea, isn't it? We are all one family with the same roots, connected and founded in God's promise and a shared faith that is passed down from generation to generation. But we know that's not the whole story. Many of us don't have a family Bible. Many of us don't have family who practice such a faith. Coming to a life of faith for some of us is a decision claimed on our own. And as much as I love this story of Abram and the descendants as many as the stars, I know that the Old Testament world of lineage and familial connection was a tricky one, one in which it was normal to exclude the other, excluding anyone not of the family line. Protecting the paternal line caused all kinds of problems. Clinging to families made us hard-hearted and insular. And we know that Abram had another son, too. For so long, this linear, generational tradition held true. We know from scripture and other writings concepts of the birthright, favor of the firstborn son, importance of the family unit. So when Jesus comes on the scene generations later, everything the world knew as right and normal gets shaken up, including how we come to understand family. Jesus, in his usual Jesus-y way, mixes up what we expected and long held on to. In scripture, Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all have this story. Jesus is teaching to a crowd, and someone calls to him that his mother and brothers are outside looking to speak with him. And Jesus asks, "Who are my mother and brothers?" We know the answer to this question. Mary and the brothers are like right there. But Jesus is teaching us something about family. Pointing to the crowd, he says, "Here are my mother and brothers." What is happening here isn't a rejection of family, but rather a broadening of our definition from only those we are connected to by a line to a more open understanding that family is also made up of those we recognize because of our mutual chosenness by God. Jesus pushes us to think differently, to open our minds about who is in and who is out, to not be so narrow about who we are called to care for and who we can learn from. A family tree gets messy when we really think about who is in our family. Really, consider who you would include as family by Jesus' definition. Those people God raised up in your life as influencers of life and faith. We come to faith in many different ways, but the constant is that our family grows more and more. I know in my family tree, my grandfather would be up there, my grandmother, above my mother, connecting down to me in a nice line. But my spiritual family tree would look like a swirly web. I would have to count my home church extra parents, or my college sisters, and my middle school French teacher. And then 2 years ago, I joined this crazy family. It's swirly. It's not neat and orderly. And that's what Paul is doing in this text as he writes to Timothy. He is remembering those influencers and connections in Timothy's life that have brought him up in the faith. A new familial order at work. Paul refers to him as his spiritual son, going on to say, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you." So it was in the early church, and so it is today. Influenced by Jesus' new way of being in the world, we see these early Christians challenging what was previously held as important about family and connection to be more inclusive, more loving. Paul's words to Timothy here at the beginning of his final letter are anchored in his care and compassion for Timothy. In families, and in the family of God, we are called to nurture and care for one another. Is one more important than the other? The family we are born into or the families we claim for ourselves? I think Jesus is showing us that it's a both and. There are gifts and benefits offered by both. Rooted in love for one another, this concept of family continues to evolve through the generations. The generations promised to Abram speak to an unbroken connection, and through to Paul's words, generations of faith assure the continuation of this wide family rooted in love. The family of faith in action is one of the most beautiful things to behold. We saw it here yesterday as our many blue-shirted helping hands went out to serve with enthusiasm and varied gifts. I see it every year when I load up the bus and take a group away from the everyday to live in an intentional community and experience faith in new ways. This year's Montreat Youth Conference for 9 of our senior high youth and our intrepid adults was a turning point. Sure, the basic fun of learning to live with 2 bathrooms and 13 people is always there, but something so much more surprising happened. As we began to open up about the stress of our lives and the things that make faith difficult, love genuinely began to grow. Maybe it was the hike up Lookout Mountain, or maybe it was in a hammock by the dam, or in worship singing praise to God with a thousand other youth, or getting locked out on the porch the last night. Love grew. The ways we spoke about ourselves and others shifted from the usual ways to child of God. Plans for our future at Highland took shape. Our young adult among us experienced new connection to the still new church. We lifted up one another in prayers and in our conversations. We lived as this new kind of family. You do not know when these moments are going to happen. You can't. But opportunities to care for our family, children of God, abound. This crew of young people returned to their Highland family excited to share, which they're very excited to do following worship today, and also eager to get involved. On our prayer list for a great many weeks now is one incredible woman, Pat Stewart, and her husband, John. Pat's story is amazing, and I share this with her permission. Of the many fun facts about her, Pat was among the first women in the Presbyterian Church to be ordained. She is one of my waymakers and Debbie's waymakers in the faith. Pat is someone who makes her presence known and has a genuine and graceful spirit about her. And with many others here today, I have been so lucky to have been in Pat's Christmas caroling group. That woman loves to sing. So just after our youth returned from this Montreat experience, Pat's family decided to gather together to celebrate Christmas. Pat loves Christmas and all of the many traditions that go along with it. So she and John asked for the house to be filled with flowers as they celebrated. And I sent a text to that Montreat group and asked if they would like me to just take care of it, just to send some flowers on their behalf. And they said, no. They didn't. These youth did one better. They showed up the next day in the kitchen across the street, dressed in Christmas sweaters and antlers and tinsel scarves to bake cookies and to go over to the home and carol. If it sounded like fun, oh, it was. The activity building rang with seasonal songs in the middle of August, and we artistically iced homemade cookies. And let's be clear, these youth do not know Pat and John. They know her health is declining. They know she is a pastor. They may recognize her from worship. They really didn't know what to expect. They did know what was important. Pat is a child of God, part of our family of faith, one who has paved the way for our generation and generations to come. So we drove the bus over there and knocked on the door, and the family, totally unsure of what was going on, called everyone together and then opened the door. And we started to sing as her children and grandchildren wept and Pat and John just smiled. They brought us in. They were in the midst of decorating the tree and listening to carols too. Love. That's what was there. Sharing of ourselves, bringing some cheer. You never know when these moments might happen, but the opportunity is always there. Maybe it was in the hugs from her grandchildren. Maybe it was singing Silent Night in her living room. Maybe it was on the bus ride back, wondering aloud, what did we just do? God's family loved one another that day. As part of the generations of faith, we are to be bearers of God's love. Young to old, old to young, brothers to sisters, sharing the story, sharing our witness to how we know God is real and present in our lives. We don't always know when these moments will happen, but we know the opportunities are many. If we are truly family, we know the circle is wide and the needs are many. I think about our support of the Malawi Whales and annually. We will likely never get to meet these children of God, but we trust that our love extends all the way there. I think about those the senior high youth went to serve in Alabama again this summer. From the adults living with intellectual disabilities to those who just needed a warm meal, our love remains there. Paul, sitting in prison at such a distance from Timothy, chooses to reach out to his family of faith, recalling and sharing, accepting love for one another. And Paul is trusting that this letter will be shared with the whole family, not just Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice, but the whole bunch, to help the church family be nurtured and grow in these early church days. These words are a gift to the community, to our community, to build up and sustain, acknowledging the gifts of lineage, but also the connectedness of children of God that transcends it. It would have been really easy for Paul to have just stopped writing these letters, to bow out of his ministry while in prison this last time, but instead, Paul writes to Timothy, praising and sharing in his faith, in the faith of those who brought him thus far. Part of being in the family of faith is reaching out to our brothers and sisters at all times. But what does it mean to choose this family and to take our place in the generations of faith? I think it means we accept our role as those called to care for God's children. For everyone placed in our path is someone that God is entrusting to us. And that's a messy, big, webby circle. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you, Paul writes. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love. On the threshold of a new program year in the church, as agencies around town are looking for help, as we come across someone in need, being reminded that they too are a child of God, opportunities to care for our family abound. We are the bearers of the faith. Bearers of God's love to the generations, children of God, do so with faithfulness, honesty, grace, and most of all, love. Amen. Let us remain standing and share what it is we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which is found on the page 35 at the very front of your hymnal. Let us say what it is we believe. I believe.